Question is asked about Isa Upanishad, the connection between the invocation and the first verse, Om Purnamidam Purnamidam Purnamudachyate, and then Ishavasimidam Sarvam. The basic conclusion of the book is that we're the living entity, the jiva, is part and parcel of God, Krishna. And recognizing that and understanding that we're part and parcel of Krishna, He's the complete whole, and we're part of that complete whole. And being a part of that complete whole, we have a responsibility, a relationship, and duties to perform in relation to the complete whole. Just like a person, maybe a member of some business, he's in some business organization, and it's a complete organization, a complete business, a printing shop, printing business. And he's part of that business. He's the receptionist. So people come there and he receives them and inquires from them who they want to meet or what their work is. And then he sends them to the appropriate representative or department within that business, that printing business. So he's an individual, but yet he's part of a greater whole. He's part of the printing business. He has a position, he has a role, and he has a job to play. And it's important, so when he cooperates with the boss and he carries out his function, then the whole unit, the whole printing unit functions very nicely, and the individual receptionist gets his pay and he lives happily in coordination with the whole unit. So the living entity, the jiva, is part and parcel of God, and he has a role to play, and he has some action to render to the complete whole. So that action is bhakti, is devotion, serving the Lord. So first because you see the invocation is just talking about the purnam, the completeness. This, you can say, non-specific, or almost like Brahman. The concept of the invocation is Brahman, everywhere is completeness. And then the first verse, because it's Isa Upanishad, Isha means a person, a controller, an individual, Bhagavan. So the concept goes from the completeness, the complete whole is actually a person. And this complete universe, the controller of this complete universe and all the complete units within it, all the jivas within it, there's a controller of this universe and a controller of every unit within it. And that controller is Ishvara Paramakrishna, Ishvasyamidam Sarvam, Yatkinchet Jagatnyam Jagat. So this whole universe and everything in it, which is one of many, many millions of universes, and all these millions of universes, all the trillions of planets and billions of living entities together make the complete whole. But that complete whole is ultimately personal to the energy and the energetic, Shakti and Shaktiman. So we have to realize that Bhagavan is the controller and we are the controlled, and to engage, to dovetail everything in relationship to the controller is Krishna consciousness. So practically how to do that depends on the extent of the person's realization. It can't be forced. We can encourage people. If they have to recognize, when they actually recognize, this book is actually, one has to, there's gyan. Gyan is hearing and theory. But then applying the theory, you can only apply the theory if you accept it. You know, only follow the guidelines if you believe it. So if you believe that you're part and parcel of God, if you believe that everything is owned by God, that I am simply the caretaker for His possessions. My body is His possession. My money is His possession. My house is His possession. My food is His possession. And I'm the caretaker for His belongings, His possessions. That's quite a deep realization. So to the extent that one realizes that everything he has is not his, it belongs to God, that's how much he can dovetail and engage everything in the service of the Lord. Because as soon as you think there's separate interests, then there's no dovetailing. It's independence. This is my house. This is my money. This is my property. This is my time. This is my free time to do what I want to do. God is there and I'm here. I'm happy. He's happy. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. So you really can't expect too much if the realization is very less. It isn't that you can just write down a list of 50 points. This is, dovetailing means this. Now everyone do this. Stand on your toes, turn to the right, turn to the left. It's not some mechanical formula. Ultimately, the book is teaching us to surrender to God and offer everything to God. This is the meaning of the first verse in the whole book. And he has different aspects. The book describes different aspects of God, his effulgence, his Brahmajyoti, and beyond the Brahmajyoti is his form, and his form is everywhere. There's verses about that also. And ultimately, he's personal. He's a person. So they can begin, really, to begin with is to, because it's basic to recognize that food is coming from God. This is a basic idea. That we can't make food in a laboratory or in a factory. Food depends on rain or water and seeds and the mercy of God. All these things. So there's a natural, any pious person will feel some gratitude to God for giving food. So the idea of offering food to God, that's a good start of dovetailing, rather than just to recognize, actually recognizing that this food comes from God, and it's actually this whole planet. We believe the whole planet belongs to God, and everything on the planet belongs to God, at least the food. My house is my house, and this is my car and my clothes. So this is it may be hard to go further than that without sufficient input of knowledge. So when we have free time on Saturday and Sunday, we can go to the mall, we can go to a movie, we can go to some sports event. But if we want to dovetail with God, then we'll go to the temple. We'll take darshan of the Lord at least once a month. And everything, a movement, we move according to taste. So as the taste and realization of God increases, then our movement towards God increases. Dovetailing means movement. It's movement, it's action. But action, before there's action, there must be some thought. There must be some thinking. Thinking, feeling, and willing, isn't it? The mind goes through these processes. So as we increase our thinking about God, then we'll increase our action toward God. And the other thing is very practical way to dovetail is to dovetail our senses with God. So this is where the Bhagavad Gita comes in as a helpful handbook. The Bhagavad Gita is a helpful handbook on how to dovetail the senses with God. And Krishna gives the step-by-step process. Who is not drinking water? Everyone's drinking water. So what does Krishna say? He says, oh, dovetail your drinking with seeing me. Rasohamapsakonteya, I am the taste in water. So whenever you drink water, don't just drink water and say, ah, oh, it's nice cold water. It tastes very good. I feel very good. Oh, Krishna is a taste in this water. So, and then you see anything. So you see in relation to the Gita. I am the heat and fire. I am the light of the sun and the moon. And we go out and see a bright sunshine. So, this is Krishna's light. So Bhagavad Gita, the teachings in Gita are ways of dovetailing our sensual activities with God, remembering God, associating with God in a very general way. As you make more progress and you actually spend solid quality time chanting Krishna's name on mala, singing bhajans to glorify the Lord. We like to sing, so instead of singing Hindi bhajans by questionable authors or whatever, We sing bona fide bhajans written by liberated souls. And then the pure sentiments and bhavas of their bhajans and hearts will come into our heart like a samskara. So, food is a big thing, to eat prasadam. And actually, when one does that, then it purifies the consciousness when one does something in relation to God. Dovetails some of his life in relationship to God, that will purify the consciousness. When the consciousness is purified, then the person will come to a saintly person and say, what else can I do? I'm doing this, what else can I do? It's not that you can just give a list of 50 things, okay, do all these 50 things. Because it's not realistic that someone can implement 50 things at once. If you look at the life of an initiated devotee, he's at every turn he's dovetailing or he's connected with God. And he's eating and sleeping and everything. Movements, because he's developed that consciousness, that appetite and that attachment and that interest. You can't dovetail and connect things with God unless you want to. So the question is being asked about the existing land of Vrindavan that we're living in. And there's many big saintly personalities with huge ashrams and thousands of disciples or whatever that may be engaged in questionable activities. Personally, their personal behavior activities is not up to the mark. But yet their ashrams and their preaching appears to be expanding and flourishing. And how is that possible? That's one question. The second question is, how? And these people may be living in Vrindavan or Varsana underground, wherever, and engaging in wrong activities. And how is Krishna allowing that to go on? Because isn't this supposed to be the spiritual world? So if something is expanding, it's flourishing, of course businesses also flourish on the basis of good products and good behavior and good networking and so many things. So even a spiritual group can prosper on good networking and good publicity, and all the followers say he's Siddha and he has magic powers. So people, by vox populi, people hear about all that and they flock around and the numbers increase more and more and popularity and money and this and that, and name and fame. But there may not be anything really substantial there, but people are easily deluded. Hitler also had a lot of followers. That's one point. But another point is that if some group is flourishing, the leader or may be presenting some actually good teachings. His preaching may be good, and maybe because he's distributing the holy name and distributing Nam Sankirtan, or he's somewhat of the Yuga Dharma of worshipping Radha and Krishna or Krishna consciousness in whatever form, it's Krishna's will that's expanding, because Krishna wants everyone to get out of the cycle of birth and death. So somehow some people are receiving Krishna through this means. So they're picking up that and they're running with it. And Guruji told us we should do Nam Sankirtan, Radhe, Radhe Govinda, or this or that. Well, we're doing it. And we're not misbehaving. And Guruji has a songbook and all wonderful songs about Radha and Krishna's Leela. And we read that and we cry and we pray for the day we may be in a Vrindavan and Radha Krishna Leela. So all these things are good for us. They're beneficial. And so things are expanding by Krishna's will. They're taking the good things, they're taking the gold that's there. And if there's some dirty thing there, that's being left to the side. So this is one reason why any movement that is emphasizing Nam Sankirtan, which is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga, they will flourish. Because Nam Sankirtan is predicted to. This is the Dharma for this age. So somehow or other, people are getting the name. Like in the biography of Radha Swami, the Ganga gave him the holy name. He sat in the Ganga meditating, and somehow in the swirling waves and waters, gurgling waters, he heard the Maha Mantra. It's in this book called Journey Home, where Radha Swami maybe have read. So Krishna has unlimited ways to expand the Yuga Dharma. He'll use any type of personalities, charismatic persons and and they can do a good thing, and people can pick up the good thing, even though the guy may give you some good medicine, and you take advantage of the medicine, and you flourish with that. And myself, I may somehow I don't have any medicine myself, and I get sick, or I don't take the medicine. I have the medicine, but I'm not taking it myself. And you see, oh, why is he sick? I took his medicine, and I got well. So some people may be distributing some very good medicine, and everyone's taking it and expanding, getting very healthy and getting a very big following. And the giver of the medicine himself is not actually taking his own medicine. So he may be suffering individually. That's one point. Well, the other point is the question about how so many sinful activities in general are going on, irregardless of who's the perpetrator of it, whether he's a guru or an acharya or a resident. Why is there so many sinful activities? This is Krishna's holy dham. This is Boma Vrindavan. This is a replica of the spiritual world. But this is Boma Vrindavan. We consider Boma Vrindavan as generally considered that place where Krishna is having his pastimes in the material world, his Prakat Leela, manifest pastimes. And if you look at the history when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, there wasn't any Maya here. Because Yogamaya was arranging all the whole environment was controlled by Yogamaya. So if anybody that was representing Mahamaya tried to come in and disturb the Leelas of Krishna, which were under the aegis of Yogamaya, then they would be obliterated at the earliest. They wouldn't stay more than a few minutes in Vrajadam, Agasura, Putana, Bhagasura, etc. So the Mahamaya didn't have much influence, practically you could say no influence at all. It's the same Boma Vrindavan, it's the same Varsana Nandagram, it's the same 12 forests, everything is here. Same Brajaraj, same Giriraj, same Jamuna. But Yogamaya was controlling everything, Krishna's internal energy. He was here, Prakat Leela. But now he's left, he's not here. It's Aprakat Leela, which means in meditation, this place you can, by your strength of your samadhi, your bhava samadhi at the level of bhava or prema, you can see Krishna's pastimes here. But actually you're seeing the Aprakat Leela, unmanifest. So now, this Boma Vrindavan is controlled by Mahamaya. So Mahamaya is Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Matsarya, and all the permutations and expansions and contractions and perversions that happened there when people are under the influence of Mahamaya or illusion. This is the illusory potency, the mayak covering of the holy dham. The illusory potency is covering the dham. So people are engaged in a plethora of sinful activities in Boma Vrindavan. So in one sense, we can't make out much difference between Boma Vrindavan and Guragaon or Delhi. Everything looks the same. There's rape, murder, robbery, everything here. Abortion, eating meat, chicken, eggs, whiskey, everything. So what's the difference? What's the difference between Boma Vrindavan and Boma Delhi? They're both on the land of earth. But here it said, the saints say that here in Vrindavan you can have a chance, you can have the chance to see Krishna. Krishna will reveal himself. Krishna will reveal himself in Vrindavan in pure consciousness to a pure devotee. But Krishna won't reveal himself in Delhi. It's not his Leela Bhumi. So all the saints, they always come to the holy dham. Because there's strength here. Yogamaya is also here. It's available here. The dham is also here. Yogamaya is here. So one can connect with Krishna. In the holy dham, the Yogamaya can connect the pure devotee with Krishna's Leela. But Yogamaya is not functioning in Delhi. Yogamaya is functioning in the dham. And this is the dham. So it always is the dham. It's eternal. The Puranas describe when there's pralaya and devastation of the entire universe, Vrindavan is not flooded, it is not burned, it is not turned into charcoal, it is not flooded or anything. It remains like a lotus flower above the waters of devastation, eternally beautiful, eternally blossoming, eternally attractive, unaffected by the vast waters of pralaya, because it's eternal. This is Brajadam. So Mahamaya is playing here, but Mahamaya and Yogamaya are both Krishna's energies. And by Krishna's will, Mahamaya is predominating here now. And by Krishna's will, when he's here, Yogamaya predominates, Mahamaya recedes. And when one is a pure devotee, Yogamaya predominates in his life. And he sees Krishna here and Radha here and all their pastimes. And he's always running around the landscape chanting, Ha Radhe, Ha Radhe, Ha Radhe. I saw, and collapsing and seeing Leela, entering the Leela, and then Leela disappears, and then he's lamenting, Vilapkusamanjali.